I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
If you change your mind, take a chance. I'm the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go, gonna be feeling down. If you're all alone.
Ah, there we are. Let's go. Let's take a chance. 402. That's what this whole thing is about, right? We're all taking a chance. This is where we take three underdogs and parlay them together, the Take a Chance Parlay. Fleegs has hit it once this year. I have hit it twice. Let's take a chance. Where are we going? To be totally honest with you, like, there's not a ton. Like, this was...
They weren't last week either. I know. Listen, credit to you last week. You didn't hit the parlay, but you did have the biggest outright underdog winner.
Yeah.
In the Jets.
In the Jets, I did. I had the biggest... That's right. I took the Jets. I did. That's right. I forgot about that. I knew I didn't hit it. I forgot who I took. But yes, that's right. I took the Jets. This week...
Yeah, your other two teams got blown out. But yes. the Jets makes up for at least one of them.
Yeah, it makes up for one of them. Like this one, I wouldn't be surprised if we have the exact same parlay, but we'll see. Where are you going?
I was thinking about that, too, because there's really only like five games you can go with. And
yeah.
So all my lines are three or lower, but I'm not giving you either of the 1.5s. So game number one, I have the Giants in the picks. You know, one thing we talked about off air, we both forgot to say in the pick segment, Jackson Dart hasn't lost a home game yet.
It's true.
So maybe there is some advantage for him in MetLife.
Quality teams.
Right, two playoff teams. Assuming.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
absolutely.
One the defending Super Bowl champs. So give me the Giants plus 2.5. This one, if I had to put another underdog in the regular picks, I was leaning towards this team. Give me the Raiders plus 3 against the Jaguars. I mean, the Raiders are horrible. Like, this is a hold your nose, don't watch the game, hope for the best kind of pick. The Jaguars have been shaky, and with the Raiders, I'm really betting on here, if they get Brock Bowers back, and it looks like that could happen this Sunday, then maybe they just give you one good game. If Geno Smith can just avoid throwing the ball to the wrong team for 60 minutes on Sunday, then the Raiders, I think, are alive in this game. And then the third one, I almost feel bad because I know you're including this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Daniel Jones, he can't win every game, right? He's going to go into Heinz Field and beat the Steelers in a game that the Steelers now really need. You know, we talked about it. The Ravens are back as favorites to win the AFC North. They're minus 145. Yep. The Steelers, it looked like 2 weeks ago, could coast to winning the division. Then they had the bad Thursday night loss against the Bengals. The Packers loss is more acceptable. That's a very good football team, a Super Bowl contender. But right now, they're all of a sudden at risk of falling back to 500. Maybe last week when we thought it was the Mike Tomlin, you know, motivational spot to get that team up to win a game, maybe we were just a week early. I hope we were just a week early. And it wasn't against the Packers because of the Aaron Rodgers revenge game. It's now against the team with the best record in the AFC and the NFL entirely. And we get that this week. So the Steelers plus 3 against the juggernaut Indianapolis Colts led by Daniel Jones.
Yeah, we have the exact same 3. So I can't get off Pitt. So I'll take
problem is that the 2 1.5 pit numbers
I
go
went against,
and I would be on the side. Like, if I had to pick that game, I would take the Texans too, not the Broncos.
I'll take the Cardinals because if there's a chance that if he plays, this Cowboy defense is so bad. I do agree with you. I think they're going to win the game. I like it as a pick. It was right there on the borderline between it was Pitt, Dallas, and Houston for my final pick. I went with Houston. But I'll take a chance that there's a turnover or something, or that Cardinals team can find a way to score, because this Dallas Cowboys team, the defense is atrocious. So I'll take a chance with the Cardinals. But I agree with you. I picked the Giants. We went through that. And, yeah, I'm with you on Pitt. You know how I feel? I'm getting points at home, Mike Tomlin, and one of the great quarterbacks ever. Like, last week it failed us, or failed me, against Green Bay. I'm going to take the odds that it doesn't fail twice. Like, this is just a Tomlin spot. Traditionally, I have hit this forever. But let's be honest, it's been a couple years since those numbers have really played out the way I expected them to, or the way they have for years. A lot of those statistics that tell you to take Tomlin at home as a dog of 3 points or more are built on years prior. But I still just think this is, I'm with you. If they could just stop the run, I still find it hard to think that Daniel Jones is just going to win all these games. Eventually, they are going to stub their toe. It's a tough place to go play. They're coming off a brutal loss where they were completely outplayed in the second half by Green Bay. I think they stiffen up. And for back-to-back home games to lose, I just think this is a tough spot for the Colts. Give me Pittsburgh Steelers. So give me the Giants, Steelers, Cardinals for the take a chance ball, just because we can't have the same thing.
And it's a weird week because some of the other low spreads, mm-hmm. you know, the Bears only a 2.5 favorite over the Bengals, but we don't know about the status of Joe Flacco and his shoulder. The Commanders getting 3 points at home against the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure about Jaden Daniels, so not a lot of great underdogs on the board.
No. There's not even like a legit take a chance. Like, if that game was in Atlanta, I'm looking for the time to fade the Patriots, because I feel the same way about the Patriots that we talk about with the Colts too. I mean, they're playing great football, well coached. May is playing unbelievably well. Are they really going to roll off all these? Like, they're going to stub their toe and have a bad game too. And I thought this Falcons team was trending in the right direction. The last 2 weeks have been dreadful. Penix is coming back, but on the road, he has looked awful. And especially outside in the elements, he has looked particularly awful. If that game was at home, obviously it wouldn't be the same spread, but I would have taken a chance there.
Yeah, my brain says Falcons there, but they did me really dirty last week in other pools, in Survivor. So I'm done with that team for a while.
No, I agree with you. I've had a bad read on the Falcons over the last 3 weeks. To me, it does. I want to take the Falcons at +5.5, but I'm going to stay away from it. I'm with you. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's an interesting week in the NFL. A lot of big spreads yet again. A couple of really interesting games, a couple of ugly games. Pittsburgh and Colts, I think, is an interesting game. Obviously, Chiefs and Bills are going to be the big game of the week. No McLaurin, that was another one, maybe Washington, but with no McLaurin against this Seattle team that travels so well. I know it's going on the road across the country, but this Seattle team has been excellent on the road. They've been great. And with no Terry McLaurin, I don't know what other weapons Jaden Daniels has. I mean, Deebo Samuel looks bad. He looks slow. And Jaden Daniels dealing with a knee injury, that's a tough game to go against, too. So that'll be an interesting one on Sunday night, and then the Monday night game as well should be interesting. But then there are some real ugly ones. Saints-Rams, 14.5. Bengals-Bears, Tennessee, and Chargers. We'll see. A lot of high spreads, but should be a good week. Probably tease both the Chargers and the Detroit would probably be my best. I do like the tease. I probably just
money line parlay. You know, Lions, mm-hmm. Chargers, Packers, Rams. Who messes that one up?
One more time.
Money line parlay.
Yeah.
Lions, Packers, Chargers, Rams. Who messes that up?
Lions, Packers, Chargers, Rams. If I had to pick one, Packers.
It's a little bit of a sandwich spot for them.
They have the Eagles next Monday night. And I think this team is a team that plays down to its competition. I think they've had some ugly games this year. They haven't been a dominant team that we thought they were going to be after 2 weeks. I just like the other games so much that I don't think the Packers are going to lose, but that would be my guess there. The Lions are my favorite. I think the Lions roll this week. 888-808-1019. So we spent a lot of time on the Giants. There's some picks around the NFL. We spent some time on the baseball as well. Game 6 of the World Series tonight out in Toronto. Yamamoto on the mound against Gausman. See if they can get to Yamamoto, who's been incredible in this postseason. The Dodgers obviously need the game. I don't know what level of upset with the way they've played. They were the ones. It's like they're the Blue Jays. We talk about it like it would be the biggest upset in the world. That's more about the Dodgers being unbeatable. The Blue Jays, as much as I'll tell you, I feel like it's a one-off year, that I don't expect them to be this good year in and year out. I don't think we've seen the next dominant. I don't think we're looking at the next dominant team in the American League. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't view it that way. they are still the one seed. They still won more games than everybody else. They still have a high payroll. It's not some, you know, mid-market team that's having this crazy year. It's not the, you know, like this is a legitimate team. They won more games than anyone else. They played extremely well in the postseason. They have stars. Like, they've had a young kid emerge as an unbelievable starting pitcher. Like, I don't think it's this crazy, the most biggest upset you've ever seen in baseball, but it would be a pretty big upset, and it would be one that the Dodgers would have a tough time living down because they were healthier this year. Like, I know they won last year, but, you know, Otani's healthy and pitching there. I know their bullpen's in disarray, but their starting rotation is, you know, it's got Snell healthy and pitching. It's got Yamamoto. It's got Glasnow. It's supposed to be this team that, you know, supposed to win a championship. So we'll see. Yamamoto's been lights out. I think this is the game you want to get if you're Toronto, because anything can happen in Game 7. It's just a tough game to win. Anything could happen against this, you know, at any moment, one of those three superstars could emerge and just absolutely explode and take control of the series. So should be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. Still don't know who I'm rooting for, I suppose. I guess I'm rooting for the Dodgers. I don't know. I'll be happy if I see Donnie Baseball hold up a championship, but I don't know. 888-808-1019. Obviously a lot on the Giants and what they need to prove here. A lot of guys, this is a prove-it game for the coach, clearly, who, I mean, all I did was say I probably won't fire him at the end of the year, and I've gotten more hate than anything I've ever uttered in the 2.5 years or just about that hosting here in the overnights. So he's got a lot to prove that he can win football games and not just develop a quarterback. The quarterback has to prove that he can make plays with no weapons. Dexter Lawrence has to prove that people still respect him in the NFL. The defensive coordinator has to prove that he can come up with a scheme to stop a run game with Christian McCaffrey. Like, a lot of people have a lot to prove. Thibodeau has to prove that he shouldn't be traded. This is a big game for the Giants, and it's a winnable game against a team that's lost its best edge rusher in Bosa, a team that's lost its heart and soul and its defensive leader in Warner, a team that's most likely, I don't know if they've announced it for sure, but it's going to be Mac Jones, the backup quarterback, a team coming off a bad loss where they were outplayed by an offense in the Texans who hasn't been good all year and was missing two wide receivers in the game. The Giants are yet to lose a home game with Jackson Dart. They beat two playoff teams in the Chargers and the Eagles. This is a game to go win. It's a big game. Because as much as I'll tell you, and I know I spent a lot on it all week talking about Brian Daboll, the relationship with the young quarterback, and how important it is, and I wouldn't jeopardize that with him playing this well. I can tell you that too. I'm blue in the face. I understand he can't lose every game. They've got to get some wins along because of the previous years here, because of the last two losing seasons. He's not a rookie coach, even though I kind of view him as that, as a you know, sort of a second chance at a rebuild, not just another opportunity at a winning season. I felt like that should be the mandate when you allow him to draft a quarterback. But still, he's lost the last 2 years. They need to prove they can win games. They lost a heartbreaker against Denver. They got beat up by Philadelphia. They're trying to overcome injuries. They've got they still probably don't have a Debo. They probably don't have Flott, who hasn't practiced all week. Banks has been awful. And this front four is going to have to get after it. That's like, again, for me, the pass rush is going to be huge. Dexter Lawrence, who practiced yesterday for the first time without the brace on his elbow, he's going to have a big game after all the noise with Carl Banks and everything else. This is a big game for Dexter Lawrence, who's having a miserable season. Whether he's respected and double-teamed or not, he's having a miserable season. And this pass rush, a young kid in Carter who has been better than what people will tell you and better than what the stat sheet says, still not a third pick, you know, warranted to justify to ask for Lawrence Taylor's jersey number, and someone who's the best defensive prospect we've seen in years, and all of the talk coming out of that draft. Thibodeau, who's possibly on the trading block, although the reports are the Giants don't have any interest in it, but it's been a conversation all week. A Dexter Lawrence who's not playing up to his capabilities, and Burns who's dominated, but this was supposed to be a dominant force. This was supposed to be their identity, was getting after the quarterback. And it hasn't lived up to that. This would be a good week to start against this 49ers team, against a backup quarterback who isn't very mobile in Mac Jones, and especially when you look at the defensive backfield that's going to be playing guys who aren't very good, including a first-round pick in Banks, who has been brutal. You got the injuries to the wide receiver, obviously, as well, with no neighbors. You're bringing up players like Ray-Ray McCloud, who's expected to play in this game, little Jordan Humphreys. You've lost Scataboo. This is a difficult game to win, but it's a winnable game. And it's a game at home where they have yet to lose with this young quarterback, and a big game for this head coach, a big game for Dexter Lawrence, a big game for the defensive coordinator. A lot of guys with a lot to prove going up against a 49ers team that is vulnerable, dealing with their own injuries, playing a backup quarterback, missing two of their best defensive players. This is a big game for the Giants. Big game. 888-808-1019. And you know what? Everyone says, oh, it's the same thing. It's different. You know why it's different? Because at 2-6 on Halloween, it has not been a big game. We have not given a damn. I've been on the radio telling you they should probably lose it. They should probably lose it and probably tank and probably try and get the best pick and go draft a quarterback and blah, blah, blah. Not today. Not anymore. That's what Jackson Dart has afforded us. It's not a meaningless game. It's a game I want to see them win. It's about winning. It's about building a culture. It's about developing this quarterback. It's about continuing to see the progression that this offense has made the second he took the field. It is meaningful. And that's different than what it's been. The record might be the same, but it feels a hell of a lot different. 888-808-1019. Brett in Long Island, what's your thoughts on it, Brett?
Chris, is Halloween a challenge?
Yes.
Chris, is Halloween a challenging holiday for you and your family?
Challenging, yes. It comes with many struggles and many challenges. It's a very difficult day. I'd rather not talk about it.
Okay. No, I meant because you're probably going to eat all your kids' candy.
I got you. Fat jokes. Good for you.
Chris, you said that I don't have an opinion on anything.
Correct.
You attack me all the time. Now's your chance. Go for it.
Okay, what's your opinion?
You got? Call me out on anything.
I don't rely on name calling like you.
Then don't, no,
my character.
Oh, you don't? You call me a dumb idiot every other call. But I'm Chris.
Well, I mean, you attack me on every other call.
I made a joke. Ask me anything right now.
I don't want to ask you. Listen, this is how it works. You call in, you ask me things, and then we have a discussion where you give me opinions. No.
You
don't ask.
You
challenge me. No, all you do is say, you said this, and I don't understand. You said this, and you said, how can you say this and say that? How can you say that? I want you to call me and say, you know what, Chris? This is a big game because I believe this and I believe that. You have nothing to ever say. All you do is say, I heard you say this, and I heard you say that, and how can you say this, and how can you say that? What are you, other than Daniel Jones is a great quarterback, that's the only opinion you've ever had. You've also said, and I wanted to ask you about this, because you killed the coach. Oh, should have fired the coach. Well, what's changed in the last 2 weeks? Because every time you call me, you tell me how the Giants are going to win and go to the postseason. So how terrible is the coach? You constantly believe they're going to win and go to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, that was part of positivity.
So it was a lie. You didn't actually feel that way.
No, I do. I always feel that way. I never give up like you do.
I'm not giving up. It's what we think. That's the difference between me and you. I'm able to give what I think.
You say the first few games don't count with
Correct.
Russell Wilson. But yet, like, then how does it work for all the games that Daniel Jones lost that now he's a proven quarterback?
None of it doesn't matter.
How do we do that?
None of it matters. It's Jackson Dart. AD
how do you,
and BD.
Yeah.
After Dart. Before Dart and after Dart. That's all that matters. Right
the
now,
the only thing that's going to save you is if... Is
save
Jackson
me.
Dart, you're relying on Jackson. Like, it's just, I understand you're going to die on the hill with it like I do with Daniel Jones, but, like, Chris, he's not a good coach. I just don't understand your argument. You're trying to argue over one player that he picked. He's not even a GM.
It's a he drafted the quarterback. He got lucky. I know, he got lucky. Very lucky.
You brag about the Charger game. He threw for 100 yards.
They won the game against the Chargers. They were 3-0.
Their defense stopped them. They won the game.
Bowen did a great job. What are you talking about? Stop it, man. You don't know what you're talking about. Stop. I can't. I don't know what. Like, they. So the wins don't matter. You call me up every day. Every day about, you know, the nonsense. The win. Now the wins don't matter. It's about developing the quarterback. Same thing as 2005 with Eli Manning. Does anybody give a damn that they turned a 5-4 team into a 6-10 team? Does anybody actually care? It's about developing the quarterback, and he is integral in that process. Integral. Oh, I can't shake the integral. He is important in that process. The coach is meaningful in the process of developing the quarterback. That's what this season is now mostly about. It's about developing Jackson Dart. So the quarterback didn't play a great game against the Chargers, that's your point? Well, then the coach won the game, you dope. You can't have it either. Then if Jackson Dart didn't play well in the Charger game, then Dable outcoached Jim Harbaugh. Pick which one you want to get behind. Pick which one you prefer. Like, I don't tell me. I guess it's that Brian Dable outcoached Jim Harbaugh. Because Jackson Dart only threw for 100 yards. And what happened when they beat the Eagles 34-17? Like, I don't understand it. I don't know why we're not more. I don't understand why you're not more pleased, Brett. You of all people. Like, I guess you don't like this quarterback now because he's not Daniel Jones. I have no freaking idea why you love Daniel Jones so much. When was the last time Daniel Jones won a game like that? 3 years ago. 3 years ago. Then he was awful. Sorry, it doesn't matter that he's playing well with the Colts right now. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. None of it matters. Brian Dable got his guy, and him and his guy are playing well. The guy, the quarterback has changed how we feel about the team. They went out and beat Jim Harbaugh and the Chief and the Chargers that were 3-0. They beat the Philadelphia Eagles 34-17 in prime time. Go check how many wins Daniel Jones had in prime time, buddy. Even you can count that high. Like, I don't. If he didn't play well against the Chargers, then the coach won the game. So that's a big win for Brian Dable. I don't care what happened with any other quarterback, man. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't care what happened with Russell Wilson. I don't care what happened with Daniel Jones. BD and AD, before Dart and after Dart. That's it. And AD is all that matters. It's all that matters. Now, I agree he's got to win some games. Because even though I view it as year one of a new rebuild, it is year four. They've lost a lot. You can't just go and lose all these games and you know, win two games on the season. And I also don't think it's plausible that the quarterback plays well for the next 10 and you don't win any. Like, if Jackson Dart plays like this, they're going to win some football games. It's hard to win two or three games. It's hard. They're going to win some games if the quarterback plays well. And right now, he's playing great. And I don't know why nobody wants to give this coach credit for it. I don't know why we refuse to give him credit for it. I mentioned that he helped Josh Allen along. Ridiculous, Chris. You can't give him credit for that. No, that's it. These guys were so good. They're just so good and talented that they did it all by themselves. Nobody helped them along the way. It didn't matter. They just stepped on a football field and became great. And nobody's helped them. Nobody helped them transition. You know, nobody helped Josh Allen from lousy rookie quarterback who was a turnover machine to a budding superstar year three. No one helped him along. He just playing games did it. It was just, it could have been anybody. I could have been his offensive coordinator. Wouldn't have mattered. Brett could have been his offensive coordinator. Of course, he would have traded him for Daniel Jones, but like it could have been anybody. It doesn't matter. Jackson Dart stepped on the field and he's great. Doesn't matter. Oh, because, you know, some of the plays happen when the play breaks down. So that means it's, you know, it's not about the coach. Not about the coach. The coach is only important when he schemes open wide, when he schemes blocking so that the quarterback doesn't have to move outside the pocket, and when he schemes the wide receivers wide open. Well, hell, what do you need talent for? If you have a great coach who could just scheme up a blocking scheme so that the D-line can't get to him, and he doesn't have to maneuver or have pocket awareness or do any of the things that Jackson Dart has and what he's shown. And as long as the wide receivers are wide open so he doesn't have to go off script, that's when you can put it on the coach. That's it. If the wide receivers are wide open and he has all the time in the pocket, then you can say, well, the coach is doing such a great job. Other than that, it's just sheer ability from the quarterback, and the coach has absolutely nothing to do with it. It's such nonsense. It's such nonsense. Because if you were such a great coach to do that, then what the hell do you need talent for? I can get any quarterback to stand behind a great offensive line, not have to worry about a pass rush, not have to maneuver outside the pocket, not have to run for a first down occasionally, not have to go off script. All I have to do is stand back there and throw to wide open receivers. Otherwise, the coach isn't impactful. Okay, well, guess what? You could do that with any quarterback. You want to know the proof? Daniel Jones is doing it right now. There's the proof. The proof that any quarterback can play behind, you know, great offensive line with a great running game and wide open wide receivers. There it is, Daniel Jones. Steichen is doing such a great job that it doesn't matter what kind of talent the quarterback has. It doesn't matter. Because if the quarterback makes off the script plays, I guess, you know, I mean, never mind. Have you watched Patrick Mahomes play? I guess Andy Reid's just okay. Andy Reid really didn't have anything to do with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is just great. Look at him. He throws the ball while falling down. You can't coach that. So does Andy Reid really even do anything? It's just absolute nonsense. He's the coach. He wanted the quarterback. Against everyone else in the organization, he started the quarterback in week 4. That has changed the team. They are 2-3. Some brutal losses. Some obvious ones. They fumbled the ball 5 times in a row. Otherwise, they were kicking the crap out of the Saints. They lost the game. They gave the game away. The players gave the game away, turning the ball over. They had the Denver Broncos, who are a playoff team right now, in first place in their division. Oh, they were up 19 points on them, and then the defense just completely fell apart in the fourth quarter. And he made one decision to trust his young quarterback, and it blew up in his face. Okay. And then they went on the road and lost to the defending Super Bowl champs. They also beat Jim Harbaugh and the undefeated Chargers, and they beat those same defending champs 34-17 in primetime. The quarterback is literally the talk of the NFL. Everyone can't stop gushing about the dude, including now the 49ers. He won Rookie of the Month, but that's just sheer ability. Coach had anyone. He would have won Rookie of the Month no matter where he played, who he played for. It doesn't matter. He's better than Cam Ward. He could be in Tennessee right now. He could be with the Titans, and he would have won Rookie of the Month, and he'd be good right now, and they'd be, you know, 2-3 with him over the last handful of games, because that's just how great he is. He could step on a field against anyone at any time, at any moment, and just be great, because that's Jackson Dart. We've established that 5 games into his career, that he's just so gifted and with such God-given ability and so incredibly awesome that he can win Rookie of the Month, and it's solely on him. No help from the quarterback coach. No help from the head coach. God knows no. In fact, he's doing it despite the buffoon. All right. If you say so. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, trick or treat.
Treat.
What's your favorite treat? Baby Ruth?
No, not a big Baby Ruth guy. I also don't like Milky Way.
I'm a Baby Ruth guy.
I think Milky Ways are pointless. I think my favorite...
Pointless? That's a classic, man.
Pointless. I think they have nothing to them. Baby Ruths are even worse. There's nothing to them. I'm a Twix guy. Twix are my favorite candy bar.
Twix is your big bar over Milky Way and Baby Ruths?
Correct, 100%. You got a problem with that too, Eddie? Hold on. We'll wait till next Halloween. I'll make sure I remember it so you don't get me. What else you got?
All right. Okay, now listen, I don't know if you listen to the morning show when you drive home or you listen to your show.
I do.
But... Boomer made it very clear, and you killed on it, that the New England format, while you had a first-year quarterback, mm-hmm. changing the coach is not a real big deal. And you killed him on it. And
I killed him on it? I disagree with that. I disagree with that take.
On the premise.
Yeah, I disagree with that take. I do.
Right. And they're doing fantastic. What do you disagree about? You said something about them being defensive coaches.
Yes, Mayo.
What does that have to do with it?
What does the head coach being an offensive-minded head coach? Mayo was, I guess, promised the job. Maybe it was just a holding place for the eventual hiring of Vrabel. But Mayo was a defensive-minded head coach. He didn't pound the table to draft May. He's a defensive-minded head coach. He didn't draft the quarterback. He didn't really help develop the quarterback. He was just the head coach, and he failed. And then they brought in one of the better, more competent head coaches of the last decade in Vrabel and gave him, McDaniels, one of the best offensive coordinators in the last 20 years. If you can guarantee me a Mike Tomlin, Vrabel, John Harbaugh, and then one of the great offensive minds of the last 20 years who's won 6 Super Bowls or 5 Super Bowls, however many he was a part of with Tom Brady and the Patriots, and who invented pretty much the 2 tight end game. Like, if you want to give me those set of circumstances, then I might be willing to move off of Brian Daboll. I'm sorry, I disagree with the idea that you can look at the Patriots and say, well, they change coaches, so you can change coaches. Mayo was not the offense. This is Brian Daboll's offense. The GM didn't turn to Mayo and say, hey, as long as you're good, I know it's your guy, we're going to draft him, are you sure? That's what they said to Brian Daboll when they took Jackson Dart. The rest of the organization didn't want to start him week 4. The coach did. It's his offense. It's his draft pick. It's his quarterback. That was not the situation with Mayo. And then they went to a great head coach, a proven great head coach, and one of the better offensive coordinators in the last quarter century. If you want to set up those circumstances, by all means. By all means. I don't view it. I don't think that's comparable necessarily. I don't. Do I think that there is validity to the idea that Jackson Dart could still work out without the coach? Of course. I am not saying that Brian Daboll is the only man for the job. I am not saying that anybody else will fail with Jackson Dart. I'm saying, why risk it? Why risk it? It's working with him. They have a built-in relationship that no other coach will have with him. This kid knows that Brian Daboll wanted him. This kid knows that Brian Daboll, with his job on the line, chose him. This kid knows that when the owner and the GM didn't want to go to him week 4, the coach did. The coach trusted him. The coach wanted him. The coach designed an offense for him. The coach, when his job was on the line, said, you're my guy. That's a bond and a relationship that he won't have with another coach the rest of his career. Now, again, Brian Daboll isn't the only offensive mind in the NFL, and Brian Daboll isn't the only coach that could get really good play or excellent play or help develop Jackson Dart. I'm not saying he's the only one. What I'm saying is, I don't trust this Giants organization to make that choice. I don't trust them to pick someone better. And it's working. Why throw something out that's working and then give it to an organization who hasn't had a good hire in a decade? Like, if you deem Brian Daboll a failure and Joe Shane a failure and want to fire them, that's Pat Shurmur, that's Dave Gettleman, that's Ben McAdoo, that's Joe Judge, that's Brian Daboll, that's Joe Shane. That's six consecutive failure hires. Six consecutive failings of hiring the right coach and GM. So with this quarterback playing as well as he's playing, working with this coach in his offense, not a defensive former Patriot linebacker, an offensive coach who's, it's his offense. And the kid just won Rookie of the Month. And you want to fire him so that the owner, who has now, by your estimation, had six consecutive failures at choosing people to run the franchise. You want hope lucky number seven? Look, it worked for my cousin. It worked for my cousin Vinny in the law exam, but I don't really like the idea of lucky number seven. I don't like the idea that he's going to stumble upon the right guy. Now, if there's a no-brainer out there, which I don't view some, like, I know I took a call, I think it was Brett in Long Island, the great Brett in Long Island, yes, last night, told me John Gruden. John Gruden won a Super Bowl a quarter century ago. John Gruden came back to the NFL and failed with the Raiders. Does that mean he couldn't be the right guy? Maybe he could. I don't know. He also kind of made fun of Jackson Dart in that Gruden camp. I mean, I know he's praising him now, but which he praises every quarterback who goes on that show after they leave. But, I mean, I don't view that as a no-brainer. John Harbaugh. Mike Tomlin. Vrabel. Sean Payton. Like, those are coaches who I know are going to come into a situation and make the team better. And I would trust them to hire the right offensive coordinator to work with the young kid. I do not trust John Mara to make that decision when this is going well with the young quarterback. Like, it's really not hard. It's really not hard. And no, I don't view the Patriots situation as the same. That's not a Jared Mayo offense. It's not his pick. It's not his quarterback. He was just the next guy after Bill Belichick. It didn't work. They fired him, and they brought in the offensive coordinator who worked there forever and won Super Bowls. If he wants to come work with Jackson Dart, I'd sign for that. I don't know about his head coach because it's failed, but if he wants to come run this offense with another head coach, okay, sure. But no, I don't view all scenarios of, well, they fired the coach and it still worked out the same. This one is different. Why risk it?
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This city lives and breathes sports. WFAN is where Yankees fans argue with Mets fans and Giants fans debate Jets fans. Live, loud, and daily. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 4:45, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I know Eddie likes to always try and pit me against the morning show. This, as I said about Tiki Barber, Boomer obviously knows more football than I do. I just and I respect his opinion, and I understand the idea that just because you fire the coach doesn't necessarily mean it will turn into a debacle. I get that. But I do think the two situations are a little bit different. I don't think you could just say, well, the Patriots fired their coach, so it can happen here too. But there have been other instances where it was an offense. Like, there, you know, you could probably go through and find another instance where it was an offensive coach who was fired. Again, I'm not saying Brian Daboll is the only guy who can do it. I'm just saying it's working right now. And they've been competitive, and they've won. Like, to me, all I care about is what's happened since he took over the team, since Dart became the quarterback. They're 2-3 with two really good wins. They're 2-3 with a rookie quarterback. Again, Eli Manning went 1-6 with a team that was 5-4. He took over an 0-3 team. Eli Manning took over a 4-5 team. A 5-4 team, a winning team. And then proceeded to go 0-6 and then won the final game of the year in the 7 games. With a better team than the Giants. He took over a Giants team that was 0-3. And he's yet to lose a home game. Like, let the season play out a little bit. All my point, and people push back on it, so it ends up becoming more than what I intended it to be necessarily, because I got to fight back. All I'm saying is, right now, today, I have seen enough where I like Jackson Dart, and I'm not moving. I've seen enough positive where I don't want to make the change, and I haven't seen enough negative where I need to make the change. That might change. Opinions change. There's still another 10 games to play, or 9 games to play, rather. There's another 9 games to play. If they go 0-9 and look dreadful and the quarterback doesn't get any better now they have tape on him and things stop, then, yeah. Then I'll change my opinion on whether or not they can fire Daboll. But if it continues to look like this, one, I find it very hard to believe if Jackson Dart continues to play like this, they won't win some games. They will. They'll win some games. If Jackson Dart plays the way he's been playing, I think they're going to win on Sunday. But if they go winless the rest of the 9 games and Jackson Dart stops playing well, or at least stops playing to this level, and it gets worse, then yeah, my opinion will change, and there it's more than fair to move on from the coach. But I guess I just view the whole scenario different. I know what John Mara said when he decided to keep them this year, but for me, and I said it when it happened, I didn't look at it as I'm going to give them one more chance to have a winning season. I didn't view it that way. One, because the team wasn't going to be that good, and the schedule was brutal. I viewed it as I'm going to give them one more chance at the rebuild. When you allow them to stay and draft the quarterback, I feel like it's now a clean slate, and the last 3 years almost don't matter. Why would you keep guys around for only 1 year and they better freaking win, but you'll allow them to make the most important decision of the next 5 years of the franchise? You keep them despite losing. You let them make that pick. Why would you get off them when the pick is working out? That's my only point. That's it. As long as Jackson Dart's playing well, I don't see a reason to move on from Daboll. And I do assume that wins will come with the quarterback continuing to play well. They've come already. If they win 2 out of every 5 games, theoretically, he's going to win another 4. If they win 6 games and Jackson Dart plays great against this schedule with a rookie quarterback with all of the injuries, you want to fire the coach? If they win 6 games with no neighbors, they lost Scataboo, defensive backfield a mess, no wide receiver weapons at all. If they win 6 games and the quarterback plays great the whole year, I would not move off him. I would not. I don't know why you would need to win 8 or 9 games. I don't know. I'm seeing that all the time. They have to be over 500. Otherwise, why? Why do they have to be over 500? next year then becomes about winning.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell Siri to dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right, just a few minutes before 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on this Football Friday. Happy Halloween out there. Be safe. Enjoy yourself. Remember, it's about the children. And if you need to feel better, just, you know, if you need to get a pick-me-up on the day, just, you know, make a joke at my expense about eating my children's candy. It seems to do wonders for everyone. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Brian in Millburn. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Chris?
Good,
I'm a
huge
fan of yours.
Oh, thank you.
I listen to you every morning. I honestly do. You're one of my favorite guys. I get up in the morning, go to work, and listen to you every day. Mm-hmm. I can't. Now, you said something about Mac Jones that wasn't right. I usually agree with everything you say. He was out for Yankees. We Yankee fans, too. He's actually the reason why our season's pretty good. I deep it suck. Because we lost a couple of pieces on it, we're trying to find our way. Mm-hmm. But he's the real reason why we're like 5-3 with because of him. Because he's been playing lights out, but he's not mobile, so our offensive line is kind of shaky. So that's why he didn't really, not all the time. Especially last week, that defense is great against anybody.
Yeah, no, Houston's defense is very good. Yeah, real. I mean, listen, I'm not saying that Mac Jones has been terrible. I'm just saying that, you know, it's not the starter. It's a backup quarterback. It's a guy who isn't that mobile. Go after and make him, you know, put some pressure on him and hopefully get him into mistakes. I never said Mac Jones is a disaster or you're playing some miserable quarterback. I'm just saying he's not the starter. He's not that mobile. Go get him. This elite pass rush should be able to go get him and make his life uncomfortable. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, you know, Chris, we talked about the World Series. Obviously, stunning how good they played. You Savage coming out of the woodwork. Who is he?
Yeah.
You know, to look that good. And the timely hitting, Guerrero had a pedestrian year. I mean, 82 RBIs.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, for the year, and to do what he's doing really steps up. And guys like Kirk. And obviously, everybody's just the contact. With the Giants, had great. Let's see what that progress with that and the defense. Just, you know, and I think Dexter Lawrence might step out. I can't believe he's got half a sack in one TFL.
I know. He hasn't had a full sack since like last October. It's almost been a calendar year since he's got a full sack.
That's amazing. So
yeah.
I think Banks is a little tough with him, but maybe he'll step up. So you just want to see the progress at this point, you know, and that's all you can hope for. Take care, Chris.
You got it, Richie. I appreciate it. Look. The defense has got to be better. I want to see they're going to have to stop the run right with McCaffrey this week. That has been their major issue. They are a terrible team against the run. They're terrible on second and long. Terrible on third and long. Too many mistakes. Bigsby on that second and 31 to get that first down was embarrassing. So I'm not trying to tell you they've been a great team. I'm telling you it's working with the quarterback, and I deem that as important as anything else, including wins right now. Year one with the quarterback, it's about him. Year two, go win. Year three, go win big. That's the plan. That's the plan. And let's see if it can... Listen, maybe we'll start to feel better if they go out and beat the 49ers, which they're capable of. That's what needs to happen. I'm surprised this fan base isn't just a little bit more excited about how Jackson Dart's playing. They're more pissed off about how the last couple weeks have gone, which I get, but... Don't you sense the hope? Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Friday. Enjoy the weekend. I'll catch you tomorrow morning. Thanks, Bleegs. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Radio 101.9 FM.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.